Haydn also learned to play the drums at an early age. Albert Christoph Dies, a contemporary biographer of Haydn's, tells this marvelous story this way. And now I quote, "It was in the week of the cross, May 11th to May 18th, when many processions take place, that Johann Franck was in great distress because of the death of his drummer. He thought of little Joseph. The boy must learn to play the instrument at once. He showed Joseph how to make the strokes and then left him alone. Joseph took a little basket, such as the peasants use for baking bread, covered it with a cloth, placed his contrivance on an upholstered chair, and drummed with such enthusiasm that he did not notice the flour pouring out of the basket and ruining the chair. He was scolded, but his teacher was easily appeased when he saw, to his amazement, that Joseph had already become a perfect drummer," unquote. All right, allowing for hyperbole, the story actually happened. The six-year-old Haydn did indeed march in the procession, and my friends, I've saved the very best part of the story for last. In order for the little boy to be able to play this big drum and march at the same time, the drum was strapped to a hunchback who walked directly in front of Joseph. Now, this is surely not a PC thing to do, but it wasn't an unclever solution for a difficult problem. That would have been a sight. The hunchbacked drum porter in front, the kettle drum strapped to his back, little Joseph following, doing his best to keep up and hit the moving target of the drum. Oh, from such scenes as these do legends grow. Now, during his 2 years in Hainburg, the young Haydn was exposed to an extraordinary amount of music. He was also taught well the rudiments only, of music theory, singing, keyboard, and string playing. Now, please, we should not for a second think that Haydn's life in Hainburg was an easy one. In Haydn's own words, his schoolmaster slash cousin, quote, "gave me more thrashings than meals," unquote. Look, that such physical abuse was more the rule than the exception in these days doesn't make Haydn's statement any easier for us to take. Through it all, though, and this really is the remarkable part, through it all, it would seem that Haydn was blessed with a rare combination of musical gifts, emotional resilience, and a frankly contented disposition. The hardship of being away from his parents, the discipline of study, seems not to have made him bitter or resentful. By every account, Sepperl, Joseph Haydn, was a happy kid. For the rest of his life, whenever Johann Franck's name was mentioned, Haydn had nothing but praise for him. Haydn told his biographer, Griesinger, that, and now I quote Haydn, "I shall be grateful to that man, Franck, as long as I live, for keeping me so hard at work." Haydn kept a portrait of Franck in the house that he lived in to the day he died. He left it in his will, along with 100 florins, to Franck's daughter, Anna. Vienna. 2 years after leaving Rohrau and moving to Hainburg, Haydn was again on the move. Karl Reuter, the newly appointed choir master at the Cathedral of St. Stephen in Vienna, was traveling around Austria in search of new chorus boys. Reuter arrived in Hainburg, where the local parish priest, someone named Anton Palm, recommended he audition young Haydn, who, according to Palm, had a, quote, "weak but sweet voice," unquote. We will let Haydn's biographer, Giuseppe Carpani, tell us the rest of this story. Quote, "Reuter gave him a tune to sing at sight. The precision, the purity of tone, the spirit with which the boy executed it surprised him, but he was more especially charmed with the beauty of the young voice. He remarked that the lad could not sing a trill and asked him the reason. The boy replied, 'How can you expect me to trill when my teacher, my cousin, does not know how to do so himself?' 'Come here,' said Reuter, 'I will teach you.' He took him on his lap and showed him how he should produce the tones in rapid succession, control his breath, and agitate the palate. The boy immediately made a good trill. Reuter, enchanted with the success of his pupil, took a plate of fine cherries and emptied them into the boy's pockets, unquote.